faithful, getting to acknowledge your presence and be in your presence, knowing that you are here, that you have descended for the purpose of the gathering together the bride by the word, and fitting her completely, making her ready for the ascent. But also we know that they without us have gone before cannot be made perfect without us. And there is a perfection coming because they had their day of perfection under the various ages, under the various seals. And we know you gave a measure of the word for each one, bringing your word back under Luther, Wesley, under a certain lot of the Pentecostals. Now in this end time, Lord, as they had their perfection, their word for that hour, believing now we have ours for this hour. And in there we see the culmination of a message, Lord, the age bringing us the perfect revelation, even as Brother Branham said, that which is perfect has come. Nothing further to be unfolded. Everything is right here before us. And now, therefore, Lord, we know as we present ourselves, there has to be that climax, that end time, when corruption must put on incorruptibility, and we know mortality puts on immortality, for this is that hour of the dead must come forth, everyone in their order. Number 7 up first, 6 right down to 1, then reverse going on up to meet you to the coronation, the great wedding supper, all these things, Lord, even to the extent of the presence of the white throne and beyond into the new Jerusalem. Every single thing, Lord, having been made manifest to us and in progression, everything exactly on time, Lord, your name revealed, your oneness revealed, your sovereignty, every one of these things, Lord, are here before us, and we know that there it is a completion. Help us, therefore, not to add one word or take one word, but to revel in and glory in and stand in that complete God-given, your given revelation, Lord, of this hour, absolutely perfect. So we thank you for this, Lord, and as we recognize that, may we study your word with joy, Lord, with the integrity of our heart, becoming your integrity, our life, your life, Lord, all of these things said with Christ in God, and healing the sick amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm very good at tying a noose around my neck with my tongue, and it's always bad to mention names, but I mentioned some names last night concerning the men in whom I have great faith and delight because of this message. And, of course, I didn't go through every single one, and that makes it sound like I don't have faith in others. But even mentioning a few more names this morning doesn't cover the list, because I don't know some people that have been getting taste for years, and they believe as we believe, and that doesn't make them right any more than it makes me right. It doesn't make me a judge, because that's not my job. I don't have the job of judging God's servants. It's up to God. But mentioning those who have not, in my knowledge, ever come against the presence of God, which is the great mystery and the great message of this hour. Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And I believe he used that word, declare, exactly as it's used in the Greek, to lead forth by words, to positively show us that. And, of course, I never mentioned Doc Cash's name, but Doc has been faithful all these years, and Don Hoffman out west, and Bill Stokely down there in the Carolinas, and different ones. But anybody hearing the Table One should know that no name is left out, and I'm not putting a special something upon anybody as though I had any right to confer it. I'm just looking at that which we understand and take to the Word and see that Word as Brother Branham taught it. And that is our right. We have that right to do that, because Brother Branham distinctly said concerning a ministry, he said, if your preacher's off on one word, he said, flee for your life. He didn't just say pray for people. They tried to trap me in that in a certain area one time. They're still trying to do it, because I said, well, don't leave your pastor, you pray for him. But then the next guy came along and he blew him front off a course. And well, he said, he would say, well, Brother Vail would say, you pray for me. That's true, you do pray for him. When a man starts to blow you off a course, you flee for your life. Because when I talked about one man, it's because he never, ever said anything against this word, not what I'm preaching now, but what Brother Branham said, always loved the prophet, always went along with the word. But when a man tells you things that are really opposite to that word and begins saying it, I would never say, you stick there and pray for that man. You flee for your life, and then you start praying for him. Because I'm going to say, you just don't, even Paul didn't stay with the sinking ship. only so long until God said, you jump. And he jumped, and he wasn't a rat deserting the ship. So I'm going to make that clear to those brethren that I'm not trying to eulogize anybody or say, well, you believe with me and you got to be right. I've told you many, many times to believe what I say is not what counts. It's only if we take this word right back to Brother Branham, because he cannot say one thing that isn't in this word. It'll be there even vaguely. When he said, even things revealed from before the foundation of the world, he was telling you he would take you right back to the mysteries of God, that way back there in the beginning, when that first light began to form, which was the only begotten Son, bringing us right down. Notice how he told us under the seven seals, when he brought it forth, the greatest revelation was one God. Then Brother Branham did not have the definitive revelation before he preached those seals that he had after. He never had to correct his understanding. There was one God. But when he brought forth, who is this Melchizedek? He positively identified Godhead, Jesus Christ the Son, and every child of God ended up telling us we came exactly as Jesus did, except for one instance we could not remember, have remembrance of what was there previously. He put us there clapping our hands and rejoicing in the presence of Almighty God. We don't remember one single solitary thing. Brother Branham explained every single thing, how that the word is in the mind of God, written down and then declared from that moment on, it comes into full force. You cannot find that in the Bible by yourself. You cannot do it. Those are mysteries before the foundation of the world. We go into other things too, because God reveals these things to us. When the prophet said it, it's right up to us. Remember, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things that have been revealed and belong to us for 1,000 generations. You know what 1,000 generations are? Well, that means the millennium then is plural. Now hold it. I'm not saying the millennium is more than 1,000 years, because I can't say that. Brother Branham put it 1,000 years. But in the Greek, it's millennia, which is plural. Check it for yourself. We've got a couple of Greeks sitting here. They're checking the Bibles. Go ahead. You're going to find it's millennia, not millennium. Millennium would be more like the Latin anyway. But you get into it, you're going to find it's plural. Now, what that plurality means, it could mean the 1,000 years starting to way, way beyond. You put 1,000 generations. Go back to Abraham, where Brother Branham took us, right? Genesis 18, which is Hebrews 13 and 8. All right, you go back there, a generation was 100 years. 1,000 generations, 100,000 years. And put that a day, 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. Multiplied by 24, hit another 1,000. So the secret things of God belong to him, but the open revelation throws us into eternity. Eternity and time have now blended. Right? See where we're at? Oh my, you're right back to heavenly places. You're right back where God started it all. And then, if we sang praises back there and clapped our hands and rejoiced, I say without a doubt we could be clapping our hands and shouting even now, but we will be doing a whole lot more in the millennium. So all right, we're going to go back to see the discrepancy. We've got to try to do something about this series and get it over. Now, at the conclusion of this message, Brother Branham, as always, deliberately prays to God, presenting himself to God on the grounds of his position and authority as the prophet of Malachi for Revelation 10, and as the member, because it's only one in this case, they said that the hand does it, the body does it, as the one member of the body of Christ to bring forth the ministry of Jesus, according to John 14:12, to the Gentiles, and as set forth specifically in Matthew 12. Now, that's a very strong statement, and it's very, very accurate, very, very condensed. Jehovah Elohim, present in the pillar of fire, appears to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham announces God to be present. And in short order, Brother Branham begins to minister exactly as Jesus ministered to the woman at the well and the woman who touched Jesus' garment. Now you notice my first long sentence and statement was Brother Branham presents himself to God. See? The sovereign God is that one member whom God has exalted to the position. by his own foreknowledge, his own sovereignty, and brought this prophet forth. And when Brother Branham presents himself as that prophet in this ministry of this hour, God immediately answers back. He has to. Because Brother Branham is that man, and he knows that he is that man, and therefore as that man, he said, if God told me to go and raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead, I'd stand there and raise him or shoot me down by the armies of the earth. In other words, bring a representation from every nation in the world. Now, he had that happen in India when he presented himself before God and to the people. And he said, now, who will come forward in the name of your God and pray for this blind man whose eyes are completely deteriorated by the sun, retina, cornea, the whole thing all shot and gone. He said, now you may pray in the name of your God and see that man healed. And boy, were they silent. He said, why? He said, you were very voluble a minute ago. How come you're so silent? What happened yet? Cat got your tongue, you know? And the devil had their tongues. God had William Branham's tongue. When God gets your tongue, you don't have to be afraid to wiggle it at both ends. When you're on your own, you better be afraid to wiggle it at one end. These guys wag theirs at both ends. They put their mouth in gear before they put their brain in gear. See? Why, he said, you're strangely quiet. And he prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the representation was there of Christians, pseudo-Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, no doubt. Everybody sat right there. That's the same as the armies of the earth coming to raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead. The man was completely healed. And you know what they did? They screamed to touch William Branham. You know why? Because they recognized what these dumb dogs of so-called Christianity can't recognize: God in a man. And they said, God is in that man. We've got to touch him. Huh? Brother Branham said, the stature of perfect man, you live and move like God. Stood right there, hallelujah. Now you see, I could start screaming and crying. Just ruined the whole service. I'd feel good, you'd go home with what? Be screaming and crying. It rocked inside when you realize. Turned it down flat, just like they turned down Jesus Christ. Well, he's only a man. Who does he think he is? Well, who do you think Moses was? Oh, they can eulogize Moses 2,000 years later, whatever it was, but they spit in his face. When God came to test them and put a little pressure on for a little character, they said, well, they whined, and they sent Moses back whining. Well, God, you didn't only not deliver us, but you made it even worse than ever. He said, I told you I was going to do it. Where were your ears? The lady I told you about, he said, woman, you got fat mouth and thin ears. You ought to have a thin mouth and fat ears. So she tried to turn the tables by telling people that Jimmy Swaggart's video cassettes were the things to get because he was so close to Brother Branham. Close to prostitutes and filth. Don't even mention Brother Branham's name with Jimmy Swaggart's. Let's get this down flat. Let me read it again. At the conclusion of this message, Brother Branham, as always, deliberately prayed to God, presenting himself to God on the grounds of his position and authority as the prophet of Malachi 4, Revelation 10, and as that one member of the body, called himself the hand, the body of Christ, to bring forth the ministry of Jesus, according to John 14, 12, to the Gentiles, as set forth and presented how it would be enacted in Matthew 12. Jehovah Elohim, present in the pillar of fire, appears to Brother Branham. And Brother Branham announces God to be present. And in short order, Brother Branham begins to minister exactly as Jesus ministered to the woman at the well and the woman who touched Jesus' garment. And that has to be the way it is. Thus we see that as Brother Branham answered to God on the grounds of the purpose, not proposed, but answers to God on the grounds of the purpose, God's purpose word, and accepted the position of Elijah the prophet, Jehovah Elohim immediately answered back, and that's the secret. If you accept what God says and present it to God, God answers back. Now, it may be taking a while to do it, but it'll be done. The acceptance, now listen, the acceptance or denial of God manifest in and through human flesh immediately separated wheat from tares, signifying who was not the seed of God or who was the seed of God. The acceptance of the manifested word as being of God and by God, literally God, opened the door to the seed receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which Spirit could and would water the seed through the living manifested word of the hour, until the seed was not only born of the Spirit, but carried on to maturity and into the resurrection, rapture, and millennium. Seventh seal message. Thus, the only evidence of the baptism of God Himself, and God's doing the baptizing by a part of Himself and nobody else, thus the only evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost by God, of God and by God Himself, is the acceptance or receiving the message of the hour without any input by man or anything further input, any further input given by God. So it is devoid of sensation or physical manifestation of the Spirit of God in the believer, or even the Spirit of man, but a true passively revealed faith in the souls concerning that word. And that's your evidence. And if you stand on it and build on it, and everything else then becomes wood, hay, and stubble except the granite rock of revelation, you are a part of that body. Because the body starts with the cornerstone of rock, the word, and can be only of the substance of the cornerstone, proving you are the substance by the capstone coming down, the same capstone, the cornerstone, see, revelation, always revelation, bringing it down, proving you are part of Him. Why? Because He's come down and crowned the body. And remember, capstone is here. How many people even understood that capstone is here? They put it every place else but God Himself sitting in the church. That's why Brother Branham could say that the token of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, talking about God Himself sitting in the church. And he showed it by, he said, when the boxcar is completely filled, and the inspector comes by, and he said, yes, 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 this is right, this is right, this is right. Hey, it's all right, slam the door and put a seal on it. And away goes the bride, away goes the train. Yeah. So that's what you're looking at. All right. Now, on page 34 and paragraph 122, Brother Branham tells us that the woman at Sychar has a totally different reaction to the word than did the religious serpent seed Pharisees. Now, why does he bring that in? Because he specifically tells us that this is the hour that God does through the Holy Spirit, exactly what He did through the flesh of Jesus Christ when He was ministering here upon earth. But there is one exception, and the exception is this. Israel was a tiny little group of people, whereas the Gentiles are worldwide and in the billions. And so therefore God must then do a greater demonstration. And that is in John 14 and 12. Greater works than thee he shall he do that believes than even my minister. And Brother Branham categorically said very explosively. It was explosive to the people and immediately denied. He said he had more success in my ministry on earth here than he did in his own 2,000 years ago. In other words, it was greater. The very film alone that Brother Branham had, just two little tiny films going around the world, could positively outshine in volume the very ministry of Jesus Christ. I don't say it did, I'm saying it could. And so there's something there you're looking at and something there to remember. All right, now keeping this in mind, that Brother Branham has absolutely told us concerning this ministry is to the Gentiles. Now remember, there was a time when Brother Branham, I think he was in Cairo, and he said he felt led because the people were steering him. Brother Branham, you go to Israel. You go there and you show your signs. You show the miracles. They didn't know that Brother Branham was Elijah. And so they're trying to prod him on, the same as they did in Africa, and he had to fall for it, and he got very sick, almost died with amoebic dysentery, whatever it all was there. But this time, he feels that he should just slip away and check with the Lord. And he goes behind a hangar somewhere in the airport. And he prays, and God said, no, this is not the hour. Because Brother Branham knew giving them the sign of Messiah could just rock things just like that and swing them. Well, what if they're swung too early? You think God does anything against his own purpose? And you think a prophet could get away with doing anything against the purpose of God? It'd prove he's a false prophet. And then he wouldn't get away with it. God would just snap him right off and stop it. It'd be like Balaam dying in battle. Balaam prophesied and he said, Israel, he said, they're God's chosen. Who can curse them? Who can do a thing against them? They're beloved. They're beautiful. They are the apple of God's eye. Then he went to battle against them. You in heaven, he died in battle against Israel. Oh, yeah. What are all these prophecies going to prophesy against Brother Branham under A.A. Allen? Women prophesied against Brother Branham. A.A. Allen died a drunk. And, of course, God pulled a great surprise. He let Brother Branham die in a car wreck. Like my former friend Bulger said, God doesn't smash prophets across the road. I said, he fell into the lions and their bodies were dung on the earth. Don't you tell me. That did it. Well, you say you were not friends? Hey. Give me one reason why I should be. I got you people. Who needs those guys? Huh? Why should I sit down with meat? What meat will I sit with? When I pray in the name of Jesus Christ and know there's only one God, this is his son, and they're Jesus only, or Trinitarian. Huh? How can I sit at meat? Now, if a guy does his best to believe this message, and little problem here, little problem there, and he's not leading the people astray with his little problems, why, hey, I can sit with anybody and jolly along with anybody and have a good time. Have a nice time. I might even sit with some of those people and have a steak or something and never discuss the word, because why would I? Brother Brad said, how can you have fellowship, you who believe all the word, how can you have fellowship with someone who believes only part of the word? Now, that's a very good question. I have the answer. You can't. You just sit down and have a steak, especially if they pay for it. I hope it's not so poor you got to pour ketchup or horseradish on it. Or bore somebody's teeth to chew it. Just got to have a good time. So anyway, Brother Branham now is showing his ministry to be the very ministry of Christ through discernment, which is Genesis 18, which is Hebrews 13 and 8, which is also John 4, and right down the line of the very ministry of Jesus Christ manifested on earth. Now, he makes this thought about this lady who was a Samaritan, and therefore she was the second step to the Gentiles. Jew, Samaritan, Gentiles. Because the Samaritan was part Jew and part Gentile. But he never went to the Gentiles. But she was the bridge opening the door to the quote in Matthew 4 and in Matthew 12. All right. And here's what he says concerning her in contradistinction to the Pharisees who had now degenerated as a group of elect physical people. And I'm using the term physical because they were numbered in their genealogies having come from Abraham by Isaac. Not by Ishmael, no way, shape, and form. He is not in the genealogy any more than Cain is. Only Isaac is in the genealogy. Only Abraham, going right back to Adam, goes right back to God. So we got a book of the natural. Now this is not lamb life. This is life that came from lamb life. This is book of life. And the string of the book of life is the big overall picture, and the lamb life runs through it, like it always has run through it. All Israel is not Israel. And all the children of Abraham are not seed. In other words, Abraham's seed are not all children. All children are not seed. I don't care which way you put it. You got to look at it both ways, because seed are children and children are seed. But when you really talk about seed, we're talking about the seed of God. But that seed of God, of course, is carried to humanity. Let's understand that perfectly. It's carried right to humanity. God breathed into Adam's nostril the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And from that time on, he was a propagator of the life of God through the natural election and predestination, which was already there in the foreknown spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? Coming from God, going through a cycle, going back again. It's not hard to understand. Just let your thinking go, which is a bunch of manure anyway, bought from the other churches. They don't know what they're talking about. We go right back before the foundation of the world. And we know those things which nobody else knew. It was there in the scripture, but completely hidden, brought forth by a prophet. So, all right. Now, this woman then, she's at the well, and she's not going to treat Jesus like the Pharisees, the serpent seed of John 8. You are your father, the devil. So, all right. Now, when he tells her the secrets of her heart, then watch. Now, look, when the Pharisees saw him do that, now, remember, he didn't reveal their secrets. He knew what they were thinking and told them. He hit them on the scripture, hit them everywhere. Saw him do that. Right. That discrepancy right amongst the word, what did they say? They said, this man is Beelzebub, a fortune teller. See? And Jesus said, whosoever spoke that on the Holy Ghost when he came to do the same would never be forgiven. We explained that last night and took you right to the book of Matthew and took you right down the path and showed you. Right to the fact that the kingdom of heaven has come nigh unto you with the casting out of devils. Remember John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is nigh. In other words, the forerunner was able to tell you. And who was it that appeared? God in human flesh, because John the Baptist was commissioned to forerun God himself. He did not forerun the human flesh, although he did. Now remember that. He was born ahead of Jesus. And he would forerun Messiah. It is true. But remember, let's go to the book of Luke, and I'll just wander around this morning. I never get finished, but hey, you're not going to get finished even after the white throne. You're just beginning. So just hold on. Now, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That sounds like he can't drink wine or coffee or tea. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before the Lord God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father children, even the disobedient, the wisdom, the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He tells you right there, he is actually a forerunner. He is standing there when God comes down to that prophet Jesus. What about William Branham? Okay. Now, John the Baptist. What about this old boy, John the Baptist? Let's go here to the book of Matthew. And we'll find something in here, I hope. And it tells you right here, in Matthew 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did Jesus say? When you see the devils cast out, the kingdom of heaven is nigh, it is at hand. Right there. The kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you. Jesus himself said right there, God is in the midst of you. It's all but over. The new era. We've turned the corner. We're at a junction. Here it is, a juncture. Brother Branham said, here it is. And that's William Branham right in the 20th century. And he's standing there, God standing there in human flesh. As Brother Branham said, when you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, he's talking about God in a prophet doing it. And people say, well, I can't take that. I can't take that. Yeah, you can't take anything. You haven't got God. Get out. Don't talk to me. I'm sure I'm wrong. But I cannot commiserate and say, oh, you poor dear people. Oh, I could say that. And I could cry truthfully, and I could be in despair honestly concerning them, but I can't change God's sovereignty. If I excuse them, I'd become a sinner like unto them and partaker of their sins. You know, these preachers got all mixed up in my books. I don't want them to be like me, mean like I am, but my God, they better take a stand somewhere. Because the Bible says, let God be God. You can't let him be God. They're going to be God themselves. Like the guy said, if we were to pray, A little company men going to pray, and you'll need the prophet. Well, pretty soon you don't need God. You become the Elohim of God. We're God. Hallelujah. Another bunch said, we've gone beyond the Bible. We don't need it anymore. That's narcissism. That's why you got a female God now. Narcissism. Right back to Diana. Greater Diana of Ephesians. She carried the seed in her womb. She's God. We're in his lib, calling God she and her. Funny thing, the Catholic Church is the only Catholic Church, the only church that's got guts, except people, a few nuts like us, who stand against women preachers. Women can't handle the Word of God. Prove it right in the garden. Tree of Life stood right there. God the Word stood there. She wouldn't partake. She went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, says Brother Branham, came back. Paul planted that tree of life. The tree of life was taken away like from the Garden of Eden. Today, the tree of life, God himself has descended. Perfect truth. God the Word. How many want to partake? He said, Brother Bales, how about God do? That's all you got to do, and you better do it or you're gone. Oh, I want to have some manifestation. I want this. What about the preacher said? We'd pray. And we would need Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, if God ever sends his power back into the church, it'll be by grace and not by behavior. Where does that leave that man? People to sit under him. You know, I can put people to sleep with my preaching, but that guy gets them so happy over error and lies that they scream and run a dance and they don't go to sleep, and there's no way they could sleep. They're too happy. Oh, we can do, we can do, we can do. Well, why don't you stop yourself from dying, from getting diabetes and heart trouble, losing your hair and everything else? Because you know you're going to get your hair back in the millennium. Well, she will, they'll call me. Dale's not doing so good either. He got twice the face to wash that most of us have. Nothing wrong with being bald. Just ain't nice. Richard Brandon said, Bill, you lost your hair. He ain't lost one of them. She said, I pray, tell me then where they are. He said, where they were from the beginning. He was a master at repartee, but every time was on the ball, on the word. All right, this woman here, she's not like the Pharisees, the serpent seed. This man Beelzebub, he's the fortune teller. And Jesus said, he said, okay, you get away with it now. Speaking against the Son of Man, when the Holy Ghost comes back and does the same thing, that's to the Gentiles. He said, every Gentile church falls, and it will be cursed. Already, most churches are cursed because they forget. Back in the beginning of the 20th century, 1904, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20, through the 30s, through the 40s, up to the 50s, they said Pentecostals were of the devil. Blasphemy. Finished. I don't care how big their churches are. I don't care how big their missionary fund. I don't care what they think they're doing. They're dead. Nazarene Church, Missionary Alliance, the whole bunch of them, called Pentecost the devil, they make love to a corpse. Right? Brother Man saw. Methodist, Baptist, Christian, witchcraft. Now they say, I'm not nice. Why did they get mad at William Brown? I only say what he says, but I say it a little differently. Not different meaning, not different word, just my expressions. And you know why? I have a better education. I got more snide words to do it in. Don't feel too bad, though. Don't feel too bad. There's your discrepancy right today in the Gentiles. There's your discrepancy right there. But he said he would forgive them. When the Holy Spirit came, the sacrifice lamb hadn't died. But the woman didn't think that the way the Pharisees thought. She said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And he said, your seed. do you think got the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost? Huh? Do you think she was there? You better believe she was there. If she wasn't there, you better believe. When the word got down to Samaria, she was one of the first ones, if not the first one sitting there. Spiritual perception concerning the prophet. You know? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. And there you'll find the truth. The truth, what does the truth say? He talks about all this serpent seed. He said, you're the children of the devil. You fill up the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You serpent seed, that's what he's saying. Now he said, wherefore? Behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some you'll kill, crucify. Some you'll scourge in your synagogues, persecute from city to city. The church is doing that in the Gentile age because this is the Omega of the Alpha. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias. That was the mini tribulation of 70 AD. Wait till it hits us. We get all the way from Abel, all the way 2,000 years more, and remember, it's double-double. Remember the exponential curve. You just don't say, well, I'm going to invest $2 and get $2 back. Not with God. There's going to be a multiplying factor there right down through the ages. The age number one carries all the way through. Take the sense in there. Put age number two carrying all the way through. Bring all the doubling, doubling, doubling. And if you think the Great Tribulation is bad, what about the lake of fire? Now he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Stone assembly to send unto you. Hop and I gather you together. Says, As a hen gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not. How does he gather the people? By a prophet. Now, if there weren't a prophet in the end time, there would not be a gathering. If there wasn't a true fivefold ministry, the gathering would cease. If there weren't a people who just simply took the word of God and stood it, they say, listen, he's a prophet, he's vindicated. What do you guys got to offer? What do you try to tell me? Give me one little illustration. Come up and heal my little hangnail. Even against my will. Come on. You got something? Let's see it. Say, thus saith the Lord. Can't do it. They got nothing except error. And God pulls a trick on him. Bible says so. He laughs in derision at them. He sends them strong delusion. And the strong delusion is Judas, a serpent seed, can be anointed by the Holy Ghost and produce gifts, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. Not the devil casting out devils. No, the Spirit of God. Well, the prophet stands right there, vindicated to God. The kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you. The kingdom is at hand. God is here. And they say, forget it. I hope you're chilled like you were last night. Because this is life and death we're talking about. One day it'll be just as sincere to us in our measure as it was with the prophet. One day we'll come together with our fishhooks on our elbows. One day we'll be driven together. While the world perishes in its destruction. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. He hadn't had a prophet 100 years. But she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Now we know the Messiah, which is called Christ, when he comes, that's what he's going to do. Well, if that's what he did, then he said, same yesterday, day, and forever. Now that's Genesis 18. That's how he made himself known then. Isn't that the same thing today? Has to be. Now here's a woman a man meets again. She's not that woman, I'm not that man, yet the same Holy Spirit's here and so on and so on. we read last night. Now, how many in the audience believe it? That this is sovereign grace working, this is God himself in human flesh, even as he promised, Matthew 12, because he's got to come by a prophet. No other way he can do it. Why? Because Jesus is a prophet. Everybody wants to say, well, he's God the Son. He's not. He's the Son of God. Oh, he's Messiah. He's this. He's that. Listen, hold it. He's the prophet who became the Messiah by virtue of being the sinless Lamb of God, born apart from sex by virgin birth only, but produced by the woman's chemistry and nobody else and nothing else. So he becomes the seed of the woman. Now, the seed of the woman is also a church. She's New Jerusalem. And she of herself does not have seed, but she can produce it via the instrumentality of that which has the seed within it, which was God, creating the eggs and the sperm and bringing it forth. And so God in the church, that life of God in the church, also the woman produces the seed, even as this bride will produce Christ in flesh. Follow what I'm saying? Brother Branham told us about it. Said the church cannot bring him back, cannot bring him in flesh. Only the bride can, because her mind of the womb of the mind is sealed up already. She's completely pregnant. And when she's completely pregnant and completely sealed, there is nothing that she can bring forth except that word, which is Christ. And that's the way you and I are. So there's no use fussing and struggling and striving and going through all your mechanics and all your maneuvers and praying and praying and praying and praying. For God's sake, if you're going to pray, pray that you'll be submissive to the Word of God. That's all you need to pray for. That's all I need to pray for. Just present it and say, God, I'm submissive to it. Help me to be even more submissive. That's what the prophet did. And he said, I'm what you said I am, Lord. I'm submissive to it. Help me, Lord, standing here. The pillar of fire begins to whirl through the building. God begins to zero in on the people. Tell me it fails. I tell you, you're a liar. It doesn't fail. There's no way it can fail. Right there it tells in the book of Isaiah the word that I promised. It's not going to fail. It's going to bring forth the desired fruit. What's the desired word? The desired fruit. He desires the work of his hands. You show me one place where God's hand did anything except mold a human being. His hand is still molding human beings to give them character from the word of the living God. Now, he says here, I'm in the audience, believe it. Here we both stand right here before the lights. He said, you don't know, but you're standing before God. I know it, and I'm telling you. How many believe it? Here we both stand right here before the lights that we've never met in this life. Have no more idea who that woman is, where what she is, where she came from, what she wants. I've never seen her in my life. No more than I ever saw the woman down there in this row between, in the seats there in my life. But see, here's what I'm trying to get to do. Get that discrepancy away from you now. What discrepancy? This isn't God. This isn't what God wants. This isn't the Word. This isn't the man. This isn't it. It's over here we got. This is a little bit of cake and a little bit of icing, a little bit of nicey nice. And if we do just right, now mind you, just right, we can have it too. Don't tell me that isn't what they said. I know all about it. I know more than all about it. They said, we've got some too. Yeah. Same thing that Korah, Dathan, Abiram pulled on Moses. And that's the one time Moses got angry. He said, God, if you didn't send me, and they could get it without me. He said, but if it is the way I believe, these people cannot die the common death. They will not live to die in old age. And the earth opened with fire and took them and their families down. Every denomination with the priesthood is going to go down under the fire of Almighty God in the pits of hell. At the great white throne, because they turned down this, because Brother Branham said we're before the white throne now. And the white throne is only the exposure before all creation. From Genesis to Revelation, 6,000 years or how many, I care not and I do not want to know. But I think it's 6,000 roughly. You'll all be standing there. And that judgment that is here in this world today by that judge, Elohim, because he's the righteous judge of all the earth and cannot do evil, It's already pronounced upon them. You only see what happens, what is declared today. Even as he said, you are the righteous, sinless body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it in the first place. You're tricked into it. We will see that happen, my brother and sister. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how I feel or anybody feels. The faithfulness of God is all the more clearly seen by the faithlessness of man. God abides faithful. He cannot lie. And by the covenant that God made with his Son, these have I given unto you, and you'll lose none. I could not find myself, I cannot lose myself. I cannot help being born, I cannot help dying, I cannot help living either. Even as all died in Adam, in identical manner, having had nothing to do with it, even so I am made alive in Christ and have nothing to do with it. I cannot add, I cannot take. All I can do is stand still and believe. With my passive faith going to an active faith to receive his promises. To sanctify myself wholly by the word of the living God. The life which is within it, not even by my own efforts per se, but they must be motivated therein. And anything I do, they must be promoted by God himself, initiated by his word and promoted, even as Paul said and William Branham corroborated that which was said in the book of Ephesians. The power of God, working by God's own behest within us, can do the utter miraculous and the impossible things which cannot be done even by the power of God by our own active faith. Tell me one person today who talks about coming to perfect the bride like your Shelleys and all the rest who can stand up and God operate through them and prove it. Long as you talk about your grandma sitting on a red hot stove and you don't exalt the prophet with the word, thus saith the Lord, you can have your grandma with her hot cross buns. I'll take the prophet smeared across the road. Talk about a mess. Do you realize, brother, sister, that's vomit? The only difference between dog vomit and dog manure is one comes up a little quicker from one end, the other on the other end a little slower, but it's the same junk. Vomit is a present tense, Pentecostal. Manure is a past tense, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, the rest of them. That's putting it pretty sharp, but it's truth. If you can't figure that, you don't know physiology, then how could you know Christian psychology? That which comes from God. Now he says right here, we're standing before Almighty God in the pillar of fire. We've never met. I have no more idea woman is where she came from, anything about her life I don't know, any more than I knew about the other one. But see, here's what I'm trying to do. Get that discrepancy away from you now. He said, I'm trying to get you to see this is God here now, and these are the words of God. Can't you see that? Can't you leave the rest and say, forget it? Can't you be like the Apostle Paul? Can't you be like me? Can't you be like some of these folks sitting here? They've left it all. That's why I say when we leave everything back there so thoroughly, there is no more remembrance, there's no application, there's nothing to do with it. We're in a case of total amnesia concerning the past, and we're living in the present. That's the time there'll be a bride. Get out of here, not before. And you better believe it. Because God cannot take anything out of here that's tainted. I'm going to tell you, let's get this flat. When you repent, you have a curettage. You know what a curettage is? They reach up in the woman's womb with the curette and they pull everything out that's there. You don't have to worry about taking the pill the morning after. Doc will get up there with the curette and you pull it all out, throw it out. The word of God gets in here in your mind with the curette, doing, pulls around. Brother Bill, what's the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's rebirth. I don't have to think anymore. It's rebirth. What's rebirth? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's the appearance? Well, for one thing, I'm going to tell you flat. It's not the rapture. It's the presence of God right now. Who's Elijah? William Marion Branham. What do you make of Revelation 10:7? William Marion Branham. Malachi 4. See, when your answer snap, 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 What scripture? Snap, snap, snap. You got it. Until then, forget it. You're just playing. You're not even hoping, because hope means earnest expectation. And the Bible said what a man sees that he had hope for. So I've got an earnest expectation, bless God, I'll be in the rapture, you're a liar. Because this reason, the earnest expectation you've got is not the word of Almighty God. Because earnest expectation of hope, they say, I got a hope, earnest expectation, Paul the Apostle said, it's no longer viable, or rather it's no longer there, it's no longer foundation rock, earnestly expect, how can you, because your eyes seen it. When we see this manifested before us, that is God Himself working in human flesh, that is no longer hope. I no longer hope for the appearing. I no longer hope to be a part of the rapture. It is now here because I see it. Because what a man seeth, doth he yet hope for? No, he cannot hope for it any longer because he's got it. And you know what? The old saying of the world, that anticipation is greater than realization, has taken place. Because the appearing has taken place, and they say, yuck. The table has been spread, and they say, yuck. I've got a question. I've owned dogs. I never made this test. I don't know how you can do it. There's no way I know I can do it. But if I saw my dog vomiting, and as quick as he vomited, I put a steak by his nose, which would he eat first, the vomit or the steak? Now that's scientific. You at the church did? Vomit. The steak, what is it called? Spiritual food in due season. The fresh killing carcass appeared. It's yuck. Yuck. Vomit. Yuck. Vomit. Now, Brother Branham was not nasty like that. But he said the same thing. I'm not trying to trump his age, don't worry. But you see, I've had a lot of years of experience since he preached all his sermons that he himself didn't have. I got 30 years background to refine all these goodies. Now, let's go a little further. I'm trying to get you away from that discrepancy. Get it away from you. And believe the Word when the Word is made flesh right here amongst us. Just a minute, Brother Brown. Now hold it. What do you mean? Just what I said. God in human flesh. The Word becomes alive in our flesh. That shows the presence of God. Now watch what he's saying. That shows the presence of God. When God manifests through human flesh, you know that God's got to be here. That's what he said in the rapture tape. When you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, prophet, 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 prophet. Ever since Moses. Don't try to change the record. Put it right where it belongs. Now, may God grant it her. She's wanting a worthy cause. She's childless. So she wants a baby. She's about 40 years old. That's certainly not impossible. They're sitting right here now, women who were barren all their lives and came to a platform like this and God gave them children. Some of you raise your hands out there that know. See? Picked up a little darling girl the other day, Sunday after I left her, Sunday afternoon, that mother was barren, the Lord spoke, and the little girl, the sweetest little thing, is she here? Where's she at? Yeah, she's right here, sitting down there. Her mother's sitting here. There's the little girl herself, see? She was a spoken word from God. Now, how was she a spoken word from God? Because God spoke and said, you will have a child coming. And that child could not come unless God spoke it. And when God spoke it, she had to come. Now that little girl can say, I am a spoken word from God. Well, say, just a minute now. Well, you just a minute me. I preached this over in Greece, and I want to tell you, the old boy had enough sense to say, we have heard strange things, but do not deny what is said. He couldn't deny it. Now it says, comfort ye, Isaiah 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. every valley shall be exalted. He said to John, who are you? He said, I am Isaiah. Now, he couldn't say it in chapter and verse because it wasn't written in chapter and verse. But he could say, I am Isaiah, wherein it is written by the prophet, I am the voice of him crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway for God, for every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked be made straight, and that rough places made plain. Now, he was the voice declaring, he said, I am that word of God in human flesh, who precedes the Messiah. And herein, this is what comes. And it didn't come by John, it came by God. Now remember, at that time, there was a portion of God in John, the Spirit. At the same time, God himself came down, and he could put his life anywhere he wanted, but there's a portion of God, Brother Branham said, is always stable, always static, never moves. That's the intrinsicality of God himself as being God. It's just like, look, you men, you have children. The sperm that was in you, a part of you, is part of that child right now. What are you going to do about it? And you women, the baby that you bore came from an egg, and that sperm united. Part of your egg is in that child right now. What are you going to do about it? Oh, let me see now. I don't know if that's baby. Well, I'm not the child. The child is not me. You can't deny what I'm telling you. Neither can you deny the word of God. That a part of God was in John, while God himself was in that son. And every child, Joseph, Mary, the natural parents, according to the flesh, and that's all. Because she gave nothing to the child except her chemistry. Nothing else. But all like Peter, James, and John, different ones, Philip, already had a little seed from God, a little life, while the Father stood right there. And you and I have the same when the Father stood right there. And then God came into William Branham. He said, that's the pillar of fire standing up inside of me now. God and the prophet. Huh? True? Just like you had a part of your father, Brother Bannon said, you're in your father, he'd want to have fellowship with you, but he couldn't. But through the bedding ground of your mother and holy matrimony, you came forth, now he's got fellowship. Does that tell you the story? It tells you the story. Lays it all up. Two elections. One natural, one completely spiritual. And always the spirit must have a body in order to manifest. If any child of God could manifest, it had to have a body ready, waiting for it. And so this little girl here, she was a spoken word from God. See? John the Baptist said, I am the word of God in human flesh. Now, Brother Branham stands there, absolutely, and he's saying, look, God is in me, I'm that prophet. You are children of God. Now, if you recognize who I am, you recognize the presence of God, you see and understand, you will get away from all discrepancy, you will acknowledge once and for all, I am a child of God. I am not a terror. I have nothing to do with the devil. I have nothing to do with the world. I'm isolated because I am his and he is mine. The Bible said you and David in the 139th Psalm, which we may have time to go into, very wonderfully sets it forth. I might as well go into it now, because who knows when I'll be back. Oh, get it here somewhere. O Lord, thou hast searched me and made me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts of heart. Thou compass my path, my lying down. Thou acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But, lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast set me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. He goes on down the line and shows you. Once you're a child of God, you're a child of God. You may be disobedient. You may do wrong things. You may be like Samson. But remember, even with Samson, God played upon him. And the man was built in a certain way. And being built in that certain way, he went that certain way. And God used it against the Philistines. But he went too far one day, same as David did. That's wrong with people. See, Brother Branham was so careful never to go. And a real word prophet will never go this way, never go that way. He never switches his eyes. He looks straight ahead at God, moves, moves, moves. Remember he told that little boy that rode the bike on the plank and got the first prize? He said, look, I just looked right down to the end of that line. What if we catch a glimpse of New Jerusalem? How carefully will we go down the road to it? Now he said, see, she was a spoken word from God. Now will you believe with all your heart? Man believeth unto righteousness within the heart, and the confession is made with the mouth unto what has transpired through that word in the soul. Do you believe that blessing that you have, that you feel in you now, God has been answering? If God would tell me what your name is so you could name the baby, would you believe? Now, what's that? In other words, you can pick a name right now for your baby. What's it going to be, Brother Brandon, boy or girl? Pick the name. See, she's not pregnant yet. Now, you don't have to go through using soda within the vagina and everything else like they try to tell you. Try to switch the baby somehow, this alkaline condition, acid condition, the male of this time, the one. Now, you read the books, haven't you? My Lord, I read everything you said about. They still can't do it. Oh, I'm going to have one in vitro, bless God. No, fine if it's a boy. You won't find if it's a boy. You might get surprised and have eight like a fertility hog and then lose them all. When is the human race supposed to litter? Don't you know one of the things that God put against Eve was multiplied conception? Women shouldn't be having all kinds of children. Should bearing the seed of God instead of bearing animal seed. And don't look at yourselves and feel bad. The men are here with you. We're all in the same thing together. That's just part of life. He said, name it. Hey. Talk about fabuloso. If God would tell me what your name is so you could name the baby, would you believe? What a guarantee. I'm going to tell you your name. Now you go ahead and tell me what the baby's name is. What do you want? Then, Mrs. Thompson, you can go home and have your baby if you'll believe with all your heart. You're not believing a man now. You're believing God. This is a tragic thing. To disbelieve God in his own face. It happens to all of us. It's so tragic. You believe with all your heart? Just have faith. Don't doubt. Just believe God. God is God. In other words, he's teaching sovereignty. Look, he said, God knew I'd be here preaching to you that would be here. You serpent seed, you'd be here. You children of God would be here. And now the children of God have to be here amongst the serpent seed. There have to be wise and foolish virgin. There's got to be, because that's the way it is. Because you see, I'm sent for this very reason. Sovereignty. How many people really believe sovereignty? Listen, brother, sister, you really teach sovereignty. You're going to be like where I went with Roger to a guy named Allen, Corny Allen. And he tried to weave some little trick thinking about Noah building the ark, and I was too dead that day to even listen, and so I just pushed it all off. And I said, I hit sovereignty. And I said, you won't believe it, of course, you're just a fundamentalist. He said, well, I don't believe in predestination. He said, I don't believe in predestination at all. I said, I knew you wouldn't. You know something? Let me tell you something. You could be ever so careful as a goat to look like a sheep. You ain't. You won't bleat like a sheep. You bleat like a billy goat. And though you become like Esau, who said the ass decided he'd be the king of the jungle, so he got a lion skin and poured pulled on himself, and everybody stood ready to bow, and he began to talk, he just talked like an ass. He couldn't roar like a lion. So nobody fled. They just knew who he was. Now, how do you do, sir? I suppose we're strangers, too. Only time I ever saw him alive. And he said, I thought you were Brother Meshuggah and so on. Now he's already here. He's already given. Now he said here. Now if the Lord will tell me something that you are, maybe what you're wanting, let's just say that. Tell you what? Tell me what you're wanting. Now he's already given it to you. Only thing is just enough faith to believe. How many understand that? Just enough faith to believe that you get what you ask for. See, now, Brother Brown was categorically saying, look, everything that you can have is in the Word of God. So let's not fool around. If you've got something here in the Word, it's already given to you. It's already back because it's a promise of God. You find it under any of these various headings. My God shall supply all your wants, all your needs in Christ Jesus, according to Christ Jesus. Now, he's the Word. So all the needs are there. Now, if you have a need, it's already granted to you. It's there. It's yours. Now, you need to have the faith to pluck it up. You got to be skilled in the Word of God of faith, and you'll be able to have it. In other words, and he makes a statement here. Where is that? Maybe I can't find it. I've got a job finding things. Now, he says here, when you come up here, just stand still. Now in the prayer line to you that's back in the rooms that's lined up, if you do not believe with all your heart, if you do not with all your heart believe, don't you come in the prayer line. If you have sinned that you don't want to be called up publicly, you better confess before coming in the prayer line, for it'll be made known. So you pray, have faith. In other words, as I've said many times, we have no right to go to God unless we're prepared to believe. And when we're prepared to believe, we must be prepared to go through the processes of character building, which when we receive that which we have desired of God, we'll have the character to use it. See? And otherwise you just spin your wheels. See? And I know that we often hear the story of a little boy in Pentecost was praying and asked God for something, I forget what it was, and he looked down, he didn't have it, he said, didn't get it. So he prayed again, and he said, Lord, he said, I didn't get the last time, so I'm going to pray again. He prayed and looked and he didn't get it. About the fifth time, he said, thank you, Jesus, and walked off. And they said, that's a great illustration. Well, it's an illustration, but I think it's a lot of hokey. Myself, I don't know if a little kid said it or not, although a little kid can lead him. And I'm not too skeptical, but neither am I sharp on illustration. But it is true. When you believe that you have received it, that's according to Mark, then you have received it. It's yours. And you can, when you put to the seal that God is true, that's yours. So Brother Brown is saying, don't come in the line to get something unless you really believe, because he says, I really believe. And remember, the two must agree. And if he believes and you believe, there's no way you won't get it. Now he said, when God spoke and said, let there be light, there had to be light. It could have been a million years on. Now not with you and me. See? When he said concerning the millennium, it was thousands of years on. When he spoke concerning immortality, that was spoken 2,000 years ago, but now is the day. Someone is going to receive it. You can stand here and say, Lord, I don't know. I say that, and I mean it. I don't know if I'm going to die. I don't know if I'm going to live. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, I do not have a promise to die. I have a promise to live. But it's in God's hands. And the big thing is to believe that this is that hour. It doesn't matter whether you live or die. I think dying is great because you get the best of both worlds that way. You know, you have a little heaven ahead of time. Lucky. You always count yourself fortunate. So when you come up here, just stand still. I may ask you. If I ask you anything, then you speak back. If I don't ask you, and it's him talking, it's not me then, don't do it. You break the vision. I'm telling Lloyd this morning that every time I ever saw anybody, even when Brother Branham was quizzical and wondered what's going on in the meeting, and somebody spoke up, I saw it in two cases, both of those people sort of went by the side. Never would I speak up in a meeting. To my knowledge, I never did once. I've always stood back and waited for an answer, and I'm going to tell you, the same God that gave Brother Branham answers, those answers which I felt from something he said that I hadn't received light, maybe 30 years later, the light broke. What's the difference? As long as the light broke. See? Now, he's already given it. It's all you. How many understand that? Just enough faith to believe that you get what you ask for. In other words, there's always enough faith. You have that direct proportion. The Bible tells you that to each one is granted the measure of faith according to his need. Now, if you're up here wanting something and he can tell me what your desire is, then you know that I don't know your desire. Then it has to be something here that's doing it. And that's God. Now, according to the word, he promised to do that. He knew the thoughts within their hearts. Is that right? And I read that from Psalm 139. See? Thou knowest my doubts, yet uprightest. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou set me before and behind. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the winds of the morning and draw in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Okay? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, and the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. He's talking about himself. My substance is not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Cursed thee wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And on down the line. Sovereignty of Almighty God. Knowing every thought. Thoughts of our hearts speak louder in heaven than the words of our mouth. All of those things. Brother Branham brings it all out here just pat as you can see. You've a great desire to be healed. One thing, you're suffering with a nervous condition, real nervous. That's right. Anything. Another thing, you've got a back trouble. That back bad for some time. You even had an operation. That's thus saith the Lord. That's true. See? That's right. And here's another thing. You desire, deep desire. You want to receive the baptism of the Spirit. That's exactly right. Come here. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, may this man be filled with the Holy Ghost before he leaves these grounds. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother Branham would have had to actually knowing that man was seed in my books. On the other hand, he could have just gone ahead in faith and believed. But even Brother Branham's believing cannot confer the Holy Ghost upon anybody who's not seed. All the best he could do, anointing would come upon the person, and then that person be condemned, because you're judged for what you have and not what you do not have. Of course, there is a day coming when the light within us, if we have a wrong light, becomes darkness, and even that which we have will be taken from us. I understand the scriptures are not at variance. You apply them in the way they were given and under the conditions they were given. Now receive it, brother. Just have faith. Don't doubt. How do you do? He said to the person. I suppose as far as I know, we're strange to one another. If that's right, why that's so the people know. Just raise your hand so people can understand and know we're strangers. We never met in our lives knowingly. And I guess she'd never seen me unless it was out there in the audience. Because the Heavenly Father knows, and here's his word lying here, that I've never seen a woman knowing in my life. Now, Brother Branham is not swearing by the word. The word is standing there to judge him. He's saying, look, I'm not a hypocrite. Not telling a lie. Not swearing by the word. But it's just the same as doing it in the sense that you're honest and that word is there. And that word will judge you. He just knows he's at the white throne. One thing is just a gift. If I can, as you heard me explain a while ago, just move over, hear what he says, what I see, I can say it. What he doesn't say, I cannot say. I'd say that in myself, I'd be wrong. If I said it myself, see, I'd be wrong. But if he says it, it's absolutely right. It's never wrong. Never will be wrong as long as it remains God, see? So because God cannot be wrong. But if God can tell me what you want, what your desire is, what you're here for, something you've done, something like that, or who you are, where you're from, or whatever he wants to tell me. You'd believe? Thank you. One thing you have trouble with your feet. Your feet bother you, that's right. raise your, then he said, you have ladies' trouble, female disorder. You've got a great desire in your heart because you just lost somebody or something. It's a boy, and your boy left home, ran away, and you want me to pray he'll return. God in heaven send her child to her. Let the Holy Spirit stop that man on the road tonight. Lord, send him back to his mother. In Jesus' name, amen. He who knows will send him back to you. Don't worry. Believe now. Don't doubt. Just have faith in all your heart. You believe, and God will grant the rest of it. Now, just those three or four discernings, whatever it was, see, I just went till it gets blind to me. I can't explain that. There's no way to explain it. You say, you mean just that was worse than you preached for 45 minutes or more, you think? Yes, sir. If it was 3 hours, it wouldn't be that much. In other words, the energy taken from him and the debilitation he finds in his body right through his entire being is not nearly as great after 3 hours as discerning one or maybe three or four people. A woman touched the garment of Jesus. Those people, and those people are not touching me. Why? The woman here, just look here, she could. Put your hands on me. See? She just touched me all around. Wouldn't do a thing. I'm just a man. But she touched me. And I, by gift, all myself goes away. In other words, he gets out of the way. And I just say what I see. See? That's all. She touching me doesn't mean a thing. But she touches Jesus through me. Ha! What about that? Why? The Pope says that, and it's a lie. And the Church says that, and that's a lie. Well, this is bride, and that's a different thing entirely, because she has the seed within her. That's how that woman touched God through Jesus, when he didn't know what was the matter with her. She just touched his garment, went and sat down. He said, who touched me? The apostle, everyone's touching you. Why? Why do you say that? He said, but I perceive that virtue has gone out from me. That's strength, dunamis, power. Now you know what virtue is, strength. He got weak on one woman touching him, and he was the Son of God. What about me, a sinner saved by grace? You know why it's more? Because he said, these things shall I do, shall you do also. More than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. See, right back to John 14, and he's presenting himself before God again as that man. Now, how much luck do you think he would have if he wasn't that man that he says he is, that he got the revelation who he was from God and took it right to Scripture? The Father, greater, it's said there, but the Greek interpretation is more than this shall you do. Now, the lady I know not, I know nothing about her, just a total stranger. Other people were strangers to one another, so the people might know, you raise your hands, so we're strangers. Now, the Son of God, if he at one time met a woman in a little panoramic like this by well, he talked to her in moments. He's catching her spirits, what he's doing. And he knew what her trouble was, told her what her trouble was, and so she knew by that was the Messiah. Now, you touch me, I've touched you, and nothing happened. But if by faith, by a gift, and your faith, by believing it, can touch him, and he can speak through us, through me to you, then you know that he's here like he was at that well of Sychar. I see. You didn't just say, baptism with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, Jesus Christ here, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, but this other stuff about John 14 and 12, that's the Church, that's not William Branham. And William Branham collars him. He says the bride does it, and if the hand does it, the body does. Oh, yeah, people write today, they want to tell you, oh, yeah, we could have prayed, we should pray, we'll get this, we'll get that. Yeah, you'll get the lake of fire, too, for being a disbeliever. That's not a nice thing to say, and I'm hard-boiled, I admit it, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Even my spirit isn't right, that's the truth. That's the truth, because seed doesn't say that. Seed acknowledges, seed accepts, seed understands. If a baby penguin can find his mother, and mother find a baby penguin, don't tell me that God isn't greater and we're not greater than penguins. See? Yeah. Oh, brother, sister, something's wrong with people here. See? Woman at the well, Sychar. He's the same yesterday, day, and forever. You believe that? Hebrews 13:8. What's Hebrews 13:8? Genesis 18. You think they can connect that? Can you connect that today? Hebrews 13:8. Right away your mind's at Genesis 18. Or are you going to go like the rest of them? Oh, why, bless God, that's Mark 16. That isn't Mark 16. I'm sorry, you're completely out of your gourd. You're completely out of the revelation. You're away from God. You're a pretender. You're a wannabe. But you ain't going to be. Unless you repent. Where are you this morning? Where am I this morning? I'm a very poor person to be measured by. You better believe it. But I can do it. I consider you people way above me in many ways. You can do it. I'm accused of being mental. I'm going to tell you one thing. This is the mind age. I'm glad I'm mental. I've not been given the spirit of fear, but love and courage and a sound mind. And I hear the right sounds, too. I can tell when it's a tambourine.
Sounds like a hissing thing.
I know there's a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk therein. The voice of the shepherd, William Branham, is stilled in the sense of coming forth in man. But the vital word he left is not stilled. It's behind us now, and it's saying, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. And if you go wrong, it says, hold it. There's a correction coming. But keep walking. You believe that? You better believe it, because that's the Bible. That's the Bible. He says, in SDD and forever, one of the main things that you want to be prayed for is arthritis. That's right. Arthritis is spirit, you know. You're stiffening up by arthritis. When you see, you raise your arm. And you did walk out kind of slow, best of my remembrance. Maybe, just wait a minute, maybe something else can be said. In other words, the people will know he wasn't guessing. That's what he's talking about. You know, you feel things. People, you know, like breath coming against it. People say, well, you guessed that. He saw her walking slow. Lucky he guessed arthritis instead of a broken bone that didn't mend, or she had one leg short from birth or something else. You see, wouldn't it be great if Sister May had gone through the line and she has to have her shoe built up, because the doctor, when he put that plastic or whatever he put in there, put a little bit too long, he wasn't too good. So her legs are not even anymore. She showed me last night how one is built up to meet the other. Well, now, what if she'd have been walking in that line and hadn't had her shoe built up and she'd go limping? Well, I see, Sister, you got arthritis. She said, hold it, I don't have arthritis. She's got a short leg. Well, it might have been a lucky guess. I see, Sister, you got something wrong with your leg. Well, anybody could see that. She's saying, well, anybody could say, well, I can tell she's got arthritis. Let's go to something nobody can see. See, watch what he does. He covers himself so beautifully. You know, God's always covered his tracks. God has always covered his back as well as his front. And if we put on God, we got a perfect armor. You and I don't need to worry about our back or the fifth rib, where they always get these poor guys in the Old Testament under the fifth rib. I figure I got so many scars in my fifth rib now, one of these days I'm going to be very, very fifth ribby. But you seem to be a fine person. In other words, you don't think that I'm saying wrong. Just talk to me anymore. Just stand here a bit, because I do think there's something else in your heart you're wanting from God. Now, I could not answer your prayer, but he can. Because if you believe it, it's already answered. But if you just want to believe, to make you believe. Now, I tell you, it's concerning a loved one that's not here. It's a brother. And that brother, not even in this country, he's in a kind of a wet country, a lot of lakes. Oh, I'd say something like Michigan. Yeah, Michigan is where it's at. Notice he says another country, means he means another state. But it doesn't matter. See, the point is that language in there doesn't mean one thing. And he is suffering with a deadly killer, that's an incurable kidney trouble that he's bothered with. That's right, isn't it? That's thus saith the Lord. Now, the handkerchief you got in your hand that you raised to God, send that to your brother and tell him not to doubt but believe, and that he'll be healed now if you'll believe it. In other words, now we've got three people agreeing, not just two, and all the Bible requires is two. The two agree to anything touching the kingdom of God. Now, you see, a twofold cord is not easy broken. If two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst. So there you're a very small number. Very small number of the great God. Like Brother Brandon said, God in one man constitutes an army that can take over Egypt. Do you believe with all your heart? See, then, if you believe, there's only one thing to do. That's absolutely accept it. Is that right? Now you say he's looking at those people. That's what he's doing, looking at them. You see that so much. But you might not know this. This lady here came up this way. Lady here, the patient. Ever who you are. I'm not looking at her. You believe that God can reveal to me what's your trouble? He doesn't even look at her. See, raise your hand to do. This lady here, this lady, the patient. Yeah, yeah. All right. Then if you'll believe with all your heart that asthmatic trouble won't bother you anymore. All right, go home and believe that healing now. Didn't look at her, did I? See? You look this way. The vision is there. No matter, I guess, he said, whether you look or not. Vision take place. Amen. Can't you see it? In other words, don't you perceive this as the way it is, the truth. Just perfectly as God can be, as God can be perfect. Just perfectly as God can be perfect. You see, they say he's omniscient. Now, here's the funny thing. They want to make Jesus omniscient when he wasn't. He had to ask the Father. He didn't know everything. And he couldn't do everything. He wasn't omniscient. Only God is that way. Now, you see the same thing duplicated in William Branham, and they turn it down. He's patterned identical to Paul and to Jesus. In fact, he puts himself with Paul and with Moses. And people don't understand that. But it's as perfect as God, because God is perfect. When that which is perfect is come. What is perfect but God, and who is God but his word? And therefore today we have the perfect revelation. Nothing more to go, nothing taken from it, nothing can be added. This is it, perfect faith. You realize our faith is perfect? Our supernatural revelatory faith is perfect. Now your active faith, that's up to you and me. And the more we believe the one, the more we believe the other. That's why I've always warned people. Under my ministry, I'm teaching the revelatory doctrinal faith that you must have. The other you can get from Pentecost or do what you want with. And people will say we're dead. We don't shut enough. We're supposed to not pray for the sick. We're supposed to not do this and that. Yeah, we got a man amongst us healed. We got other people amongst us healed. I've been healed many times. My heavens. They'll tell any man who lies because we don't do the way they do. We do not worship the way they worship. That's what the Pharisees got mad at. Everybody gets mad at the other guy because they don't worship the way they worship. I talked to a Seventh-day Adventist lady the other day, and she was telling me she came out of Catholicism. You see, the Catholics never came to the light. We had further light, blah, blah, blah. And she sat there with her hair all tripped off and a great big bunch of men, slacks, men's clothes on. And I could have said, honey, let me tell you something. You guys, right today, you have no more light than a hog has concerning God, because I can take you back 50 years, and believe me, I can do it. No Seventh-day Adventist woman would wear slacks or cut her hair. They're not walking in the light. They're walking in a go. They're liars. They're no more Seventh-day Adventists than I'm a horse's neck. And I'm more a horse's neck than they're Seventh-day Adventists. Put it that way. All they do is blab about going to church on Saturday, and that's it. Just like people talk in tongues and commit adultery. You say, well, that's fine. I talk in tongues. Sure. God knew my needs. Gave me several women. And what about the women needing several men? Let's get that down. Oh, my men are too smart and too proud. They're the male macho men. They would never allow that. They couldn't believe it. No, woman is narcissistic today. Worse than that, even. Come on. Pot can't call the kettle greasy, can it, anymore? Not when William Branham got through with his best God. And that was God doing it, not William Branham. Now, you believe too? Asthma can leave you too, couldn't it? Do you believe it? All right, go and tell the Lord Jesus that you believe him. Someday, you'd have a pack of cane around if that arthritis crips you up, but ain't going to do it. You aren't. You don't believe it, do you? You believe you're going to be all right? Go on your road. Jesus makes you well. Heart trouble kills people. It doesn't have to kill you. Believe that God will heal you for it and make you well. Go on your way believing. That's another person. You speak English, you understand English? Somebody, come, interpret. See, already the person doesn't know. Yeah, all right, will you speak to her and tell her what I tell her? Tell her she'll believe the stomach trouble leave her. Not the other one now. This is not heart, this is stomach. She'll believe it. Your back trouble leave you too. You go on the road and be healed. Now, how do you do? Do you believe? Man sitting there with back trouble looking at me right down the line. He goes through and he finishes the sermon. Now, this is going to finish the series then. And he says, dear God, while we're so covered in your divine presence to see you moving out through the audience, healing the sick ever, covered. Covered by God. He's our insurance agent. He's everything. Jesus is the one that died and rose again to fulfill the job of executor of his estate, to see that nobody misses anything, and he stands right before God, the God who is his Father and is still his God, the one he's high priest to, and also for us. He stands right there and makes sure it's all done. Even God has bound himself, not only by an oath, but he put his own son there. Where does that leave you and me? Completely free. Eternally secure. Like Job, though he's slain, they'll not trust him. And like Samson, though I go to a dozen women and mess my life up, and even pull a David trick, I can't escape. Go to hell, he put me out of it. flee to the ends of the earth, you'll find me. Knows every thought, everything about me. Now, does that make a person sick? Makes many people sick. I can't get away from God. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. If I can't get away from God, I'm not in trouble. Everything is well. Like the woman whose son was dead. Is it well? Sure, it's well. What about your husband? It's well. What about your son? Come on down, heal him. Bring him back from the dead. You said he'd come, bring him back. I'm not through with him. There's a part of a promise here. He went down in a hurry. The boy was raised. Now, ask the question, why aren't we screaming and jumping and dancing? Maybe we should. Maybe we ought to institute a little more life here, not to please people, but to give God the glory, to give vent to our expression of our soul. It's not bad to weep. It's not bad to sing. It's not bad to dance in the Spirit even. I've never claimed any of these things bad. It's just I've been around the empty wagon shop for so many years and heard the wrong word preached and everybody screaming and yelling amen. The preacher saying, sick 'em. Give us more amens to the devil's lie. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I'd sooner have you shut up and keep your mouths closed, your tongue silent, your ears open. Watch out for evil. Let an evil word be preached. If you guard your souls and not dance to some unheavenly tune or some jingle rather than the solid word of the living God that has life, brother, sister. Let God breathe by His word life into our souls, not some little imitation thing. Oh, one of these days it'll be all fine. Don't worry. Be all fine. Now, he says here in closing, he said, dear God, we're so covered up, covered in your divine presence to see you moving out through the audience, healing the sick everywhere. See, he was doing it. They didn't even know going on. Just like they didn't know that God was there in the prophet, God standing in a pillar of fire, God vindicating himself to the prophet, God vindicating the prophet to them, God vindicating the word and proving it's all of God. They stood right there. I stood there. We all stood there. And we marveled, but our marveling was one of stupidity. It was the marveling of John as he looked at the city of Rome and he saw the harlot and he marveled. He wasn't a part of it. But thank God there was a seed with you and me that we could marvel and then take a little bit of the life that was there. Thou art God, I pray that you'll lead this entire audience. Of course, that was a good prayer. Let the breath of God fall fresh into their hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. And let them know that time is running out. And I am here as that last messenger proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is here in your midst. The church is being put in order. The dead are about to be raised. The rapture can take place any time. The wedding supper is at hand. Eternity is upon us. We're just a little while longer to be here. Then we're going to be with him who we love. And may now his presence bring healing to everyone. Why shouldn't it do it here in this church here? We condemn Satan. We condemn all his acts. See, they're judged. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, come from this people. I'm going to lead you out to where you belong. Get away. All that will believe him now and accept your healing, stand to your feet and say, I now stand up to accept my healing. I believe it, regardless of your condition. If you believe it, stand to your feet. Now raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing me, and God be with you. So ends the, what's number 50 of this series, which is not just a series. It's the continuation of the doctrine that Brother Branham set before us. Now, as Brother Branham said, as we rise to our feet, you can claim your healing at this minute, the same as I can claim mine, and say thank you, Lord, for it, because you are present. He has not gone away. Brother Branham doesn't need to be here to tell us the pillar of fire still with the bride, and Jehovah Elohim is here. That's ridiculous. He never went away. He's here to raise the dead now, to perfect the church, to raise the dead and take us up in a rapture. He's not gone. He's not gone to come back and go again and come back. No, he's not gone. He's not gone at all. Heaven has come down. Hell may be removed from underneath. And maybe the devil is running things. I don't care what the devil's running. He's just running his own gang. He's not running us. He's not our headship. His word doesn't mean a thing. He's been exposed, and God has been revealed. And furthermore, God has been thoroughly exposed, and he's been more thoroughly exposed than the devil has, because the devil uses subterfuge when God comes right out and does it. We don't have to worry about trickery anymore. What does God mean here? What does God mean there? We know it. Thoroughly manifested. And the name of God revealed, which is the word of God manifested, which means we know the real God. We don't depend upon now Jehovah or Elohim or Adonai and different names. We don't have to worry about those. Wonder where they came from, where they're going. We know today. We know he stands revealed before us. This is the true God, the one living God. As Brother Branham said, call upon the name of your God. See what he does. Not one could. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Man got new eyes. Hallelujah. Just the type of the resurrection. My eyes may be failing, but the inner vision is growing brighter. My feet may be staggering, but there's something propelling me on past the grave. But the stumbling feet may lead to the grave. There's a power that leads beyond it. That's what we're looking at. Well, I've been accused of just being kind of upset because I can get emotional, and I don't dare carry that too far. Let's rise and be dismissed. People are so funny, they don't understand. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, finishing this little series here, knowing that you gave us grace and strength to do it. And we're very happy for this occasion that we have seen thoroughly revealed to us the differentiation, the disparity, one a child of God, and one child of the enemy. One a wheat and one a tare. And we stand here, Lord, believing with all our hearts we've got to be wheat. That we are full of the Holy Ghost. That we are full of faith. We have all of these things in a perfection, in a manner that were not before. We're right back to the Ephesian church with the fullness of you, Lord, sealing us in now. That same spirit that Paul prayed for. That same spirit that would come to us. The spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of himself, which in our estimation is nothing more nor less than the tree of life, God himself, the spirit, standing right here as he stood in Eden, ready to take us back to where the interruption occurred, to go on and on, blended with eternity, right into the millennium when the temple worship will dance and scream and shout, as Brother Branham did in the wilderness as he screamed running around that tree glorifying God. We're not ashamed, Lord. We're ashamed of ourselves. We're not ashamed of you. We may be surprised at many things in this life that we ourselves are confounded by. But no longer are we surprised at your goodness, Lord. We know that it is here and abiding forever and eternal. From the mortal to the immortal. Right from the corruptible to the incorruptible. To this world here governed by the enemy. To a time of liberation when it's governed by you in the millennium. Turn loose again where Satan tries to take control. And then the dissolution thereof to a new era, another juncture, already caught up into it. Father, as the people rose today, and Brother Branham said, as you rise, claim your healing, and thank you, Lord, for healing amongst us. Healing of the mind and the body and the soul. Healing of those things, Lord, that even though age takes its toll, there is no word, Lord, the prophet said, that says the aged cannot be healed, but they can be, and respect the word of the prophet. And thank you, Lord, for our inheritance and for our entitlements which have been granted to us through the blood and guaranteed by the risen Christ. So, Father, let this not prayer be empty. Let now the Spirit of the Word, which is your Spirit, enter into our hearts and minds and fulfill this now to us, that we walk, Lord, in the light of the divine healing, so we do not have to feel sick or whatever until the day you take us from here, even, Lord, as you took Jacob that time. Yet he went through many times of diversity and adversity. And then, Lord, he just laid down his staff one day and you took him away. We find the same concerning Abraham. We believe it concerning Isaac. And many people, Lord, right there proving that your healing grace, Lord, let it be amongst all of us. And the power of God to give us insight as never before. And above all, the true and correct revelation that motivates us and guides us all through life. Grant, Lord, we pray not only healing but forgiveness for everyone here who found himself or herself caught up in those things which are not right, and those things which may be admissible but have taken advantage over people's lives. May those things be broken, Lord, and walk in the light as you're in the light. Have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing from all sin. And we give thee honor and glory, Lord, in all these things. And may the very vision we have now this morning be entirely fulfilled in our lives by the grace of Almighty God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.